I just wanted to say, if there is parents out there that are doing this and they're just still exhausted and their babies still getting up all the time, it's just good to remember that it's just a season. And one day that baby is going to be an adult and you're going to sleep all you want. And
thank you, Serena. That's so good. A reminder. Welcome to the We Are the Village Parenting Podcast.
Hi, my name is Serena, mother to two little ones.
And hi, I'm Lisa, also known as the singing Amma. Amma means grandmother in Icelandic. I am a mama and an Amma.
In this podcast, I am learning to practice gentle, attachment-focused parenting. Amma Lisa is here to teach us why it's vital to our children's development and well-being.
And I come to the village with a background in early childhood education. I have been coaching and supporting parents along their parenting journeys for over 35 years. Together, we explore some easy-to-implement skills you can add to your parenting tool belt to help you create a happy, thriving family.
We invite you to grab your latte
or your tea
and come sit around the proverbial ancient fire with us each week,
when we come together to have a conversation where we'll be keeping it real, keeping it raw, right here with you in the wonderful world of all things parenting. Hi, Mama Serena.
Hi, I'm Melissa.
So I wanted to come on today because when I listened back to our podcast episode about just say no to cry it out, what I realized was we selfishly, perhaps, did not give people any alternatives to the cry it out method. Like, how do we get our babies to sleep is what I'm imagining some of those extremely tired new parents out there might have been pulling their hair out wondering. So I wanted to come back on and have a conversation with you, with your baby in your arms right now, who I can see on my screen.
Yes, everybody. Our village can probably hear her.
Yeah, I really can hear her. She's having a little back pat right now. She just had a little nursing moment. So I love that she's right here in our village. There she is.
Yeah. She says hi.
And so she's right in that early stages of life. How old is she now?
She'll be 3 months in a week.
Yeah, so that's at the time of recording. So when this airs, she'll be just over 3 months. Mm-hmm. And so that's a great place to start, because you mamas and dads out there who have newborn babies in that first year of life, you feel the exhaustion. Mama Serena is one of the lucky ones. I'm just going to say she doesn't have a baby that wakes up every 2 to 3 hours. She has good sleepers, and yes, we're a little jealous, aren't we, everybody? I sure am. Mine woke up every 2 hours for, I don't know, years. Certainly for months. I think the first time she slept, I think it was 4 hours or 6 hours. I can't remember because it was decades ago. It was at 6 months old. I got 4 hours sleep instead of 2 hours. Wow. So it's exhausting. I get it. Mama's out there. Dad's out there. I totally get it. So let's talk about what you can do if you're so exhausted and you need that baby to sleep a bit more. First of all, I'm going to reiterate that it's natural and normal for human babies not to sleep in really long sections of time. It's also natural and normal in Serena's case, the lucky few, where they do sleep for a few hours at a time. But it is completely natural and normal that babies wake up every 2 to 3 hours. Partly that's, and I'm reiterating this from the previous podcast, but just to give us a foundation for going forward here today. Partly that's because the size of their stomachs is so small, they get hungry. Partly they're designed that way because it is safer for babies to wake up more often so that we can make sure they're okay, make sure they've got all their vitals working. You know, think about the fact that we're mammals, and if we were living in the wilds like we were when we were designed and first on the planet, we would need to be waking up with our babies regularly to make sure they were still breathing, make sure they were, you know, safe from predators, all that kind of thing. So it's a natural, normal occurrence for babies to wake up. They're not trying to drive you crazy. They're not being bad in any way. They're being natural, normal babies. So I just had to say that off the top. Now, do you know what the term circadian rhythm means?
Your body clock?
Yeah, exactly. So your body clock. It's when we feel sleepy and we're ready to go to sleep. That's our circadian rhythm at work. When it's time to wake up in the morning, I mean, most of us by the time we're teenagers or adults, we're using alarm clocks. But if we actually lived more naturally and followed our rhythms, we would automatically wake up at a certain time. And a lot of people, once you've been waking up at a certain time with your alarm clock, say it's 7 o'clock in the morning, every morning, you naturally, on the weekends, you want to sleep in? No, you're going to still wake up at 7 o'clock because you've created a circadian rhythm by doing it that often. So the thing is, newborn babies do not have a circadian rhythm. So they don't have any patterning. For those of you with 0 to 3 month olds and even up to 6 months old, you will notice that there isn't a lot of patterning in your baby's day. Once they're 3 months up to 6 months, there may be more patterning developing, but most of the time, we notice that there are not a lot of rhythms and patterns happening. Sleep for a newborn baby. And when I say newborn, let's talk about the 0 to 3 months, can be anywhere from 30 minutes. That might be how long your baby sleeps for. I hope that you get longer than that. And up to 4 hours. Now, I think your baby's sleeping longer than 4 hours, isn't she, Serena?
Yeah, 4 to 5 hours.
Yeah, so 4 to 5 hours. So this period of time, fourth trimester, you know, in your pregnancy, you've got the first trimester, 0 to 3 months pregnant, second trimester, where you have a little more energy than you had in the first trimester usually. Sometimes you're not having the morning sickness. And then the third trimester, when you're getting really big and the baby's getting ready to come out and you're exhausted again, but for different reasons. Many people now refer to that first 3 months of life as the fourth trimester. And the reason that that's important to know, and we will actually do a podcast all about the fourth trimester coming up. But the reason that that's important to know is that human babies are developmentally immature. So because of the size of our human babies' heads by the time they're in utero for those 9-10 months, and the size of our cervix, the opening where they have to come through, we need to give birth to them at that point. The reason it's important to know that the development of a baby is immature is that that's the reason that they have no circadian rhythm. So it's up to us to help them create that. One of the best, easiest ways to help them create their circadian rhythm is to have tons and tons of skin to skin contact. In those earliest days and weeks, bare naked baby on bare naked mama or dad or primary caregiver, like if there's the grandmother around or somebody. But bare naked skin to skin is so good. Baby wearing helps develop circadian rhythms. Co-sleeping helps develop circadian rhythms. They regulate their bodies to our rhythms. Our rhythms help them regulate. It's so cool when you know that. It just makes like, oh yeah, of course. It's like when they're older and they're toddlers and they're having meltdowns and people are getting angry at their children because they're misbehaving, quote unquote, but actually they don't know how to yet regulate themselves. They are learning self-regulation. So at the very earliest stage of life, they don't know how to regulate their rhythms. It's up to us to help them. So when they sleep beside us, so these are all the foundations of helping your baby learn how to sleep longer and deeper, right? When they sleep beside us, they feel our rhythm in our bodies. They feel the heartbeat slow down. They feel our breathing deepen. Often you'll notice as a brand new mama, especially mamas are tuned into this. I think some dads can be somewhat tuned in. No offense, dads, but you know, they were in our bodies for those of us that gave birth to our babies. We feel, and I think we're just wired, and so probably adoptive mamas feel it too. I'll have to ask an adoptive mama. That would be cool. They feel our awake times. Like we all go in and out of light sleep and deeper sleep, right? So when the baby wakens even slightly, you know, in the very first few days and they're going, I mean, I was awake like almost 24/7 at the beginning because yeah. I just had this, right? Mm-hmm. That wide open awareness of what's my baby doing. And I really got that that was the safety mechanism of the mammal that I am, that we are listening and making sure my baby was safe. And it was, I didn't try. It was just like, oh, what's she doing? You know? And so when she or he awakens, baby awakens, mama comes up out of deep sleep and then goes back down into deep sleep as soon as we know baby's okay. Baby feels that up and down. So they regulate to us. Okay, so that's exciting. The other super exciting thing is, for those of you who are able to breastfeed, Amelisa strongly recommends it for very many reasons. One of these incredible reasons is that nighttime breast milk naturally has serotonin. A lot of people these days take serotonin because so many of us have sleep issues.
For melatonin?
Melatonin. We take melatonin. Yes, but it's melatonin. The naturally occurring is serotonin. Mm-hmm. The naturally occurring in our body. So people take melatonin.
Yeah.
Because we don't have enough of that serotonin in our bodies. So the serotonin helps the baby calm and regulate its body into sleep. So those nighttime feedings are so important. They help the baby. Any questions at this point?
Not for me. Just one thing. I don't know if you had it.
Or comments.
Mm-hmm. One thing I made sure was we weren't keeping the room dark all the time. Like we had the blinds open. So in the morning when the sun comes up, she would feel the sun and know it's mm-hmm. morning time or start learning yes. that it's morning time.
Perfect. Perfect segue, because that's the next part.
Yes.
So those really basics, hold your babies, wear your babies in the sling, hold skin to skin as much as possible, but even on your body when you've got clothes on, and then sleeping beside your babies and breastfeeding. Those are the ground floor foundational pieces to helping with sleep. Like, mm-hmm. who knew? Just know that you should not be giving any kind of solid foods other than breast milk or formula. Should not be giving anything until they're 6 months old.
So what about for a colicky baby that, you know, you are doing all these things and they just, they have some pain or something's wrong and they're just crying and crying and crying. And
what I found with my colicky baby mm-hmm. was that would happen in the evening. It didn't interrupt her sleep. It interrupted our evenings. It was very hard. It was very challenging. My partner worked in the evenings, and it was almost like as soon as he left to go to work at 5 o'clock in the evening, within the hour, she'd start crying and the colic cry. And there are things that you can do, but that's a whole nother conversation. But that did not interrupt her sleep. And it's not about feeding your baby to stop them having colic. There are things that you can do to calm their digestion, like eliminate things out of my diet helped. And when my grandson had colic, by then we were using homeopathic remedies, and there were some of those that really helped. So let's look at what else we can do once we've got the baby close to us. They're learning from our rhythms what their rhythms could be as far as differentiating day and night. Perfect segue was having the blinds open so that the light comes in the morning. So let's look at going to bedtime. Now, if this is your first baby, you may not realize that it's important to create a bedtime. Of course, when they're toddlers or a bit bigger, you will want bedtimes. And the best thing is to start creating them early and gently. It's not a big, heavy deal, but dimming right after a sort of normal dinner time is a great time to start that sort of bedtime rituals that you want to have in place by the time they're running around and having more structure to their days. So right after dinner time, the recommendation is to start dimming the lights in the house, in the rooms that you're going to be in, and start having less noise if possible. For those of you that are living in multi-generational houses with a whole bunch of other people, that might be hard in the main living areas. You might want to take that after dinner time and go upstairs into your bedrooms or off into your own spaces in the house and start creating that quieting for your family, for you and your children. So quieting sounds, getting off the screens is really important. And partly because the screens are bright and they make our eyes and our minds very active and alert. We want to slow down that alertness and rise up the kind of calm energy. So creating a bedtime ritual or routine early is such a good idea because children thrive with things that are predictable. It needs to be pleasant and quiet and really loving and caring. It's not like you're going to get mad at them about hurry up and get to bed. I mean, when they're toddlers, yeah, you sometimes probably will. But, you know, for the most part, creating routines that are predictable, pleasant, and quiet is the aim. Now, you want to watch for the cues of your baby's natural rhythm. So even for you, Serena, with a 3-month-old, she will have some rhythms now. And even a tiny, tiny baby is going to have some natural rhythms. They may be wonky and all over the 24-hour clock, but you want to watch for the early cues. Watch for the sleepy eyes that are blinking extra. Watch for the droopy eyelids. Watch for the quieting of the body energy, okay? And then that's when you start to introduce the bedtime. Getting a diaper change happening, talking in a quieter voice, dimming those lights, all that stuff. And then using the babies or your child, because you can do this with older children if you're going to try to reestablish a better bedtime ritual routine that works for sleeping better, even with your toddlers, even with your preschoolers, even those of us adults who are having sleep issues, these rituals and routines all work for all of us. So you use your body's clues, your baby's body's clues first, and you pay attention to them, and you get them going to sleep at that time. So say your newborn baby is getting tired at, 11 o'clock at night. For you, that's too late. But if you try to get that baby to bed earlier, it might backfire. So you've got to get that baby to into that sleep pattern at 11 o'clock, and then she will fall asleep because she will be ready for it. Her body is ready and wants to go to sleep. Once you've established that on a regular basis for a few nights in a row, you can move it up incrementally, but only try to move up sleep changes by 15 minutes. So then after a few nights, you could try 10:45, aiming for 10:45 sleep. Then after 5 or 6 nights, go for a 10:30 sleep. And that way you can bring it closer and closer to the time that you want that bedtime to be. And make sure it's really well established before you try to change the timing. Does that all make sense?
Honestly, you saying 11 o'clock for an example, I always kind of felt guilty that my daughter goes to bed so late, but it's because she's with me and she does mm-hmm. get all the sleep she needs, and she sleeps most of the night. And
yeah. And that's a great point, is that your bedtime in your house is going to be determined by your family's rhythm.
Yeah.
If your child doesn't need to get up and go to daycare or preschool or school, and this is great because this podcast will be airing before school starts, and parents, you can use this for reestablishing bedtimes for school wake up. Because let's face it, summer, as much as some of you are going to be very eager to keep your routines and your sleep patterns, let's face it, that doesn't always happen, right?
No.
Summer is a time for being playful and, you know, going to the beach and then staying out and playing in the yard or visiting with friends until it's dark and, it's 10 o'clock. So this is a great time for people with school age children to start using some of these tools to recreate bedtimes that are going to work for those early wake ups coming in September. And I beg you, parents, please start a couple weeks before school, if you can, to ease back on their routine. Because if you don't, let me just say, you'll have 2 or 3 challenging weeks at the beginning of school, because not only are they adjusting to a new classroom and a new teacher and all of that, they'll also be adjusting to their new sleep pattern all of a sudden. And that's really hard on us as humans. So whatever you can do to start bringing them back into a bedtime that works is really going to be helpful for all of you come September. All right. So end of dinner can signal that quieting time. No screens after dinner. Dimming the lights, quieting the household, having a bath. Having a bath, and this is for, you know, babies a few months old up to, you know, up to the school years, primary school years. Having a bath after dinner, brushing teeth. One time a family that I worked for doing childcare years ago, they had four children. And I was there one time just heading out or just coming in to babysit one night, I think. And the parents, both parents, were sitting on this beautiful staircase in their beautiful house that they lived in then, brushing their teeth together with all four children. They were all sitting on their own little step and they were all brushing their teeth. And it was such a positive, beautiful teeth brushing moment. And sometimes for those of you that have preschoolers or toddlers or older school children, you'll know that sometimes brushing teeth can be a real fight.
Oh yeah.
So encouraging it, I mean, having it be a family thing that you do together, even if you might have a snack after they're asleep, you can brush your teeth again. But brushing your teeth, it models for them, you know, that we all brush our teeth and this is just something we do before bed, and making it a happy experience and not just something they have to go and do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And then bedtime stories, you know, in your bed, in your child's bed, if they have their own, depending on how old they are, and snuggling with them, sitting beside them, touching them, you know, just letting them reach out and touch their hand onto your arm if you're sitting beside them, whatever. Bedtime stories, we will get into that in another episode, how important they are. And of course, for me, the singing Amma lullabies.
Of course.
Lullabies are so important. And we will actually have an episode in the near future, I hope, all about lullabies. And I'm going to be teaching some lullaby workshops to share with you the importance of lullabies and to teach you some classic lullabies and some that I've written, but I digress. Lullabies are calming and soothing. Hearing the same lullaby every night, you can pick two or three that you repeat every night. And that is predictable, pleasant, and it helps those circadian rhythms big time. Young children are going to want the same story over and over and over. There's some really good reasons for that. They're not trying to bug you. They're not trying to drive you crazy. There's some very good reasons for that. So as much as you can, without it driving you absolutely bonkers, trust that their little minds know what they're doing when they ask for the same stories and the same songs. Okay. So anything else? Oh yeah. And then you talked about the morning light. So then it's waking up time. So with all of those things in place, baby and children are going to go to sleep more easily once you've established it. And for those who've had troubles, it's going to take some time. Try to keep being gentle. I know it's frustrating. And once you've got that rhythm going, they're going to go to sleep easier. They're going to sleep more deeply. They're going to have longer sleeps. And they're going to wake up happier. So waking up time, getting that daylight in to the room, like actual daylight, is really great. If you have super early wakers, some parents have babies that wake up at 5 or 5:30 in the morning. And in the winter, where we live in the Northern Hemisphere, that's going to still be dark. So put some lights on. But the natural light coming through the windows causes cortisol production. Cortisol, we talk about sometimes that hormone in our bodies that is like bad because we get over cortisol high and we can't fall asleep, but it's actually a good hormone when we just have enough of it. It's the hormone that keeps us alert and awake. So we want some cortisol in our bodies in the morning when the light comes in. That's when we get the cortisol production happening. So having, again, some kind of wake up times that happen where I have one of my favorite memories of my oldest grandson. When he was little, he slept over with me quite often. And in the morning, he always woke up at 7 o'clock and he would wake up and say, "Good morning, Amma. Can I open the curtains?" And then I would be so tired because I wasn't sleeping well in those years. But of course, I would say, "Of course you can." And he would jump up on the bed and he'd pull the curtains open above my bed. And that was how we started our day. And it was such a happy start to the day. And he just wanted to let the light in. He wanted the day to begin. And it was just such a positive, positive thing. Another thing I'll say for you is, and this isn't particularly about sleep, but for those of you who are tired in the mornings and your children are hungry in the mornings, having that kid cupboard that's available to the toddlers to help themselves that we talked about way back in the very beginning of this podcast. I think it might've been episode one. We'll put it in the show notes, the kid cupboards. have some foods in there that they can help themselves to. And that'll give you a few extra minutes to get yourself, you know, the sleep wiped out of your own eyes and join them for creating some breakfast for them. So that can really help with us not being cranky in the mornings, because that's what he would say then. "Amma, can I go get us some snacks?" And I'd say, "Sure." And he'd go run and he'd choose. And, you know, for those of you who haven't listened to that episode yet, they're all nutritious foods that we don't mind them eating any time of the night or day. If you're getting them, you know, granola bar type foods, please read the ingredients and make sure there's not a lot of sugar in there, because they put sugar everywhere they can. So nutritious little, you know, nut mixes, or anyway, lots of possibilities for that.
One question. In the mornings, do you wake a sleeping baby? Do you let them sleep?
No, I would not wake a sleeping baby, God forbid, especially when they're really little. really, it's about allowing them to develop their rhythms. And like I said, in those first 3 months, in that fourth trimester, as it's called, they don't have any circadian rhythm. So we are gently introducing that. So yeah, no, I would not. And that's a great question. If you don't have to, take that opportunity for yourself to spend time with your older child or children, for yourself to get some extra rest, for yourself to get that load of laundry in, whatever it is that, or to have that cup of tea or coffee alone by yourself that morning. Yeah, no, I would use that as a gift. They will develop that rhythm. If you've got that light coming, I would definitely still open the window, open the curtains,
yeah,
let that light in so that light's coming in at 7 o'clock every morning, or whatever your wake up time is. Let that light come in every morning. They will juggle themselves around to meet that.
I just wanted to say, if there is parents out there that are doing this and they're just still exhausted and their babies still getting up all the time, it's just good to remember that it's just a season, and one day that baby is going to be an adult and you're going to sleep all you want. And
oh, thank you. Thank you, Serena. That's so good. A reminder, like every week we could be saying that, you know, because my baby woke up every 2 hours. I was exhausted. I did most of these things just naturally. And from the research I did way back then when I had to read books and magazines, but I was exhausted and I was beside myself, and my partner sadly wasn't hugely supportive and helpful, as some of your partners may not be too. And it's hard. And my baby is now in her 30s. She has 2 half-grown children. I miss those days. I really, really do. Mm-hmm. So cherish them, even when you're pulling your hair out and exhausted. It's a season. Yeah. Thank you for saying that, Serena.
No problem.
Yeah. Good luck. And please let us know if you have further questions, anything at all. We love to hear from you.
Yes. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
So thanks for joining us on this week's episode. I'll try to make this quick because I know your parents are busy. So here are my 5 takeaways. Number 1, help create their circadian rhythm. You can do this by skin-to-skin, lots of skin-to-skin, baby wearing, and co-sleeping. So this will help their bodies regulate to our rhythms. Number 2 is if you're breastfeeding, your night milk will help them sleep. And so if you're pumping and you want to give them a bottle, make sure you're using from a session that you did at nighttime. Number 3 is at night, start dimming the lights, and in the morning, let the light come through. That will also help sync their circadian rhythm. Number 4 is create routines that are predictable, pleasant, and quiet. So that might look like dinner, then taking a nice bath, lowering the lights, less screen time, brushing your teeth, and getting in some comfy pajamas. And this will help your kids settle down, your babies and your kids. And number 5, watch out for their cues. So you know when they're sleepy and you don't let it get past that mark, because once they're overtired, it can be a little more difficult. So notice if your baby or child has sleepy eyes, they're rubbing their eyes, they're yawning. My girls get like little red eyebrows when they're tired. So pay attention to their cues and put them to sleep if they are tired. Thanks for joining us. Tune in next week for another episode. Thanks.
Thanks for being here with us in our virtual village. Hit subscribe so you're notified about our newest episodes each week.
And hey, did you get something from today's episode? I know I sure did. Be kind. Hit that share button and send it to your mama friends so they can benefit from it too.
Also, by leaving us a review, you will be helping more parents out there to find answers to the questions that might be keeping them up at night.
We'd love you to follow us on Instagram and our Facebook page at The Village Parenting Pod.
And we'd love you to direct message us. Let us know your questions that we could address in future episodes and how we can serve you better.
This podcast is sponsored by the Singing Umma's private parent coaching and workshop offerings. We also now have a buy me a coffee option for a fun way that you could support this podcast. Link is in the show notes.